I want you to think about this. Do you really think that somebody who stands idly by or is an active participant in, or actively participates by doing nothing when he could, in the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people, men, women, and children, do you think he has any qualms about the death of one man, particularly when that one man is Scalia? And that one man, I want you to think about this, folks. I've given you just the six cases here. There are others. And you have huge cases coming up. Huge. This immigration case is huge. There's other cases on executive authority. Does this guy have the right with a pen to circumvent Congress and circumvent the Constitution and just write his own law? This is huge. It doesn't get any bigger than that in a democratic republic. It is a difference between a president subservient to and working for the will of the people or a dictator, a banana republic. It is that stark. And Anthony Scalia was the one man in America, the only man in America, who stood in the way of Barack Obama's agenda for the last 7 years, mostly successfully. On a few occasions, not so, like in Obamacare, where one of his conservative justices, for whatever reason, one can only wonder, changed his vote at the last moment, upholding Obamacare rather than throwing it into the toilet where it belongs. And this is the one man who stood in the way of what Barry wants to get done in his last year of office with his threatened pen and a phone. And as McDonough, I brought this to you on a show about a month ago, said, without regard, think about this, this is a month before Scalia's death, without regard to Congress, the courts, or the law. That's a quote from Barry's chief of staff. So, in my mind, there's motive. In Barry's case, maybe even animosity. The animosity, by the way, for those of you who are shaking their head, is amply demonstrated by the fact that he has refused to attend this justice's funeral. The first time a sitting U.S. president has never attended the funeral of a sitting United States Supreme Court justice. Never mind one who has served for 30 years. He's going to go to Cuba and meet with Fidel Castro, but he's not going to spend 2 hours when he has nothing else on his agenda today. This is all today. Okay? In a few hours from when you hear this, Saturday, February 20th, 2016, Barack Obama is going to go play golf or play tiddlywinks or play chess or scheme his next executive order in the White House. He has nothing on his calendar, but he's not going to the funeral blocks away. I would say that that satisfies the check in the box for animosity, wouldn't you? Now, we know that Scalia was the one man who could stand, who has and could stand in Barry's way. We know that Barry has threatened, in writing, in speech, in video, to use his pen and his phone, and that he has done so on numerous huge occasions, huge laws, including immigration, the hugest of them all in terms of transforming a country, which he has also promised to do time and time again. Google it up. We know these things. We know that there's several cases pending right now which are critical, like affirmative action. And that Barry is a big social justice guy. We know that Barry will do anything to affect elections. There's all sorts of instances of documented voter fraud in the last elections. We know that Barry will lie to win an election. He lied about the video in Benghazi prior to the 2000, right prior to the 2012 election. He lied about the economy. He lied about Al-Qaeda. He forgot to tell us about ISIS, which he was being warned about but did nothing about. Remember, GM is alive and Osama is dead. By the way, GM isn't going to be alive for long, based on the numbers I'm looking at, but that's a whole nother story. In other words, this guy is capable of lying. Now, let's go over the details of Scalia's death. Number one, he's in relatively good health, certainly outwardly appearing to be completely healthy. Number two, 79 is not a real old age. Yes, things can happen to you when you're 79, and they're more likely to than when you're 20. But it's not old in today's standards. Remember that a Supreme Court justice has the absolute best medical care you can imagine. Far better than you and I. We know that Scalia's mind was sharp as a tack. Just read his last opinion, which came out a week before his quite untimely death. So there was no slippage in mental facilities, no indication of ill health in that regard. Unlike pillory, I might add. So we know all these things. We know that. We know that the Supreme Court justices are protected by a team of at least two United States Marshals. The United States Marshals are to the justices what the Secret Service is to the president, to make an analogy. And we know that the nine justices are on an equal par in a lot of ways in their separate branch of government. They're the head of their branch, just like the president is the head of his branch, just like the speaker of the House is the head of his branch. And we also know that you don't get to say, if you're Barry Obama, you don't get to say, no Secret Service today. You don't get to do that. You're being protected for the good of the people, not just yourself. Ironically, in his case, he's getting protected as a defender of the Constitution, which kind of makes you wretch. But putting that aside, the protection is mandatory, folks. It's not elective. Okay. If you take all these points and then you start adding other ingredients, number one, the upcoming cases and the pending decisions. Number two, this hunting trip was at a very remote ranch, 300 plus miles from El Paso and literally 50, 60 miles from, let's face it, a very violent and volatile Mexican border. Yet, supposedly, Scalia told his U.S. Marshal Protection that he didn't want them there. That's the official story. And they weren't there. In fact, it gets worse than that. Wait till we get further into the dots. And they weren't there. In fact, they couldn't even be reached. Now, how convenient is that? And by the way, I'm over for the AM stations. So the rest of this, folks who are listening on AM, you may tune in on the website. We'll have a little adjunct for the last 3 or 4 minutes of the show, which are quite critical. And to all you AM listeners who have to sign over, basically, I'm getting signed off from. Have a great Saturday, and this is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the right side. And for all you that are going to come back and listen on the web, or you folks who do listen to me on the web, I'm going to continue. So, the justice is that this remote ranch, 50 miles from a violent border, with no protection at all. Now, if you see pictures of this place, there's plenty of room, you know, to house two U.S. Marshals somewhere where, away from the main hall and the guests and all that kind of stuff. Number three, Scalia was in very good health and very good spirits the night before his death, or the night he died. He went to bed early saying he was tired, according to witnesses. But he was lively and vibrant and funny and all that kind of stuff. He showed no appearances of being sick or not feeling well. He had been traveling, so that might explain tired. It's a long jaunt from El Paso to the middle of nowhere toward the Mexican border. It was a hunting trip, by the way. We know he went to bed around 9 o'clock. Now, the story gets a little bizarre. At 8:30, supposedly the owner, and boy, wait till you hear the rest of this story. The owner, a guy, a big businessman, Texas businessman by the name of Poindexter, supposedly goes down and checks Scalia's room to see if he wants to go hunting because he wasn't at breakfast. That's at 8:30. He knocks on the door. There's no answer. The door is locked. He figures Scalia is sleeping, he says, and he leaves. They come back from the morning hunt. It's now lunchtime. There's no Scalia, and Poindexter goes down there again and knocks on the door and figures he's sleeping late. And then by the time lunch was over and Scalia didn't appear, according to Poindexter, he got concerned. Gee, you just got concerned then? Got a justice of the United States at your ranch? You haven't seen him? He hasn't gotten up for breakfast? He's an avid hunter? And you're just now getting concerned. Okay. So, in early afternoon, Poindexter goes down, and according to Poindexter, there was nobody with him. How convenient. He opens the door to Scalia's room. He doesn't say he beat it down or anything, so I guess he could have done this at any point. And he finds Scalia, and his original story was that he was lying peacefully in bed, none of the sheets were rumpled, none of his bedclothes were rumpled, and everything would look fine, and there was a pillow over his head. That was the story. You Google it up. And there was a pillow over his head. Which, by the way, when an uproar ensued, suddenly became, oh, I meant a pillow above his head. That was change in the story number one. Then Poindexter says he tries to call the U.S. Marshals, but the receptionist is spotty. I'll give him that. I know that firsthand. Reception can be spotty from the wild and remote. But then he says he can't reach the U.S. Marshals. All he got was an answering machine. So the U.S. Marshals, who are bound to protect this critical man in American government, not only are not at this ranch in dangerous country, but now they're so far removed in the middle of an afternoon on a Saturday they can't be reached? Really? He finally reaches them. They fly out in a helicopter. And under Texas law, you need a justice of the peace to pronounce you dead. Well, they couldn't reach the Republican justice of the peace, according to Poindexter. So they reach Guevara, whatever her name is, the Democratic justice of the peace, who was a long ways away from the ranch and really couldn't get there in time. The U.S. Marshal, who is not homicide trained, supposedly, nobody's talked to him yet, I find that suspicious. The U.S. Marshal supposedly said that there didn't seem to be any appearance of foul play. Poindexter gave her his story, which I've already recounted to you. And this woman, without ever seeing it, without ever seeing him, without ever questioning it, for one of the top three people in the United States of America, pronounces him dead without ever seeing him, and pronounces the death. She originally said, here's another little switch in the story, that it was a heart attack. Later on, that got switched to natural causes. First of all, how do you know it wasn't a heart attack? Or how do you know it was natural causes? And secondly, what the hell is natural causes? I mean, there's some reason your body stops working. It just doesn't poof. It just, you know, there's no switch that you hit. Something malfunctioned. I don't know. Maybe it was totally legitimate. A blood clot, a stroke. I mean, who knows? But natural causes? Really? When you said it was a heart attack? When you weren't even there and you didn't even see it? And then she does not order an autopsy. Really? I mean, the circumstances are at least a tiny bit suspicious, don't you think? I mean, a tad. If there's an inkling of suspicion, it's a slam dunk decision to have an autopsy. The fact that it is who it is in a time like it is, in a situation like it is, would make you think that an autopsy would be mandatory. This man was a public servant and delighted in being one. I think he would have ordered his own autopsy. The autopsy is for the people, not for him. He's beyond knowing. Even John F. Kennedy, with half his head blown off. I mean, the reason for death staring you in the face, apparent, I mean, there's no brain work. Got an autopsy for the benefit of the American people. And, of course, for the benefit of any investigation. And there is no investigation into this deal right now. I mean, there's a lot of dots which nobody's connecting, although there's people trying to their credit. Now, it gets even more bizarre. The body is like whisked to the nearest funeral home. Once again, no autopsy. The family says they don't want an autopsy. Who knows what threats were made at that end? I mean, very bizarre deal. And the body is like immediately embalmed. I mean, it doesn't sit around for a minute, folks. It hits the front door of that funeral home and poof, the blood is out and the embalming fluid is in, which of course makes things rather difficult to track in retrospect or to investigate in retrospect. Can't even do a simple blood test to test for any toxins, poisons, injections, who knows what. And then the body is like on a plane out of there. Now, maybe this is all highly efficient stuff. Maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill. But, you know, if you start taking all these things together, it makes it fishy. And here's, and I believe it's posted. Take a look today under the Constitution section. I've posted all these various articles from various sources there, along with other things having to do with Barry and Scalia, etc. Poindexter, it turns out, has been seen in the company often. There's pictures on the web. You can see the pictures yourself. The pictures don't lie. Has often been in the company of, is associated with, and contributes to, guess who? Barack Obama. In fact, Poindexter is a key Democratic donor in Texas. How do you like that? So, if I take the totality of all this, if I take the obvious motive, the obvious animus, the dangerous location, the lack of protection, the change in stories, the rush, rush, hush, hush to make sure certain tracks, as in blood testing, were covered. Why don't we just say that based on my cynical feelings about our current, about the people who run our current federal government, I don't mean to slap at all the great government employees, and there are many of them out there who toil day to day for us. I'm talking about the head mobsters of the food chain. I am more than suspicious. Do your own research. Make up your own mind. This is a question that should be answered. As Michael Savage said, there should be a commission formed to investigate this, which has every power as the Warren Commission, which investigated JFK's death. It's a sad day for the country, and the fate of America hangs in the balance, folks. Congress cannot, let me underline this, cannot appoint any nominee of Barack Obama. It is up to the next president. There are many arguments back and forth. I'll go over them for you next week. I'm way over on time now, and this is all adjunct information that you're listening to only on the web and not on the AM broadcasts. I hope I've given you something to think about, and I hope I've done a good job of tying lots of dots into one place. It's the only place, it's the only broadcast that I know of that has done that. You have a great Saturday. Say a prayer for, or look up to the sky and cross your fingers, whatever you do, because there is a, in my opinion, kind of a coup d'etat underway right now. And the only people that can stop it are the Republicans in the Senate. And I fear for their spine. I'm not sure they have the guts. And we're going to have to help them have the guts. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.